Hiya! Welcome to Diary 101 Podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. So, at this point, we all know that everybody that comes on my podcast is my favorite. For different reasons. This particular individual is one of my favorites because I was at an event and I'm always so anxious and nervous at these events, but no one can ever tell. And he hyped me up the entire time. That was our first time meeting. I didn't even know who he was. And he was like one of the big bosses. Like, part of me thinks I should start Googling people more often. But I don't. And past that, we've had really deep conversations about life, work, my business, and he's given me really valuable insights about some of the things I'm actually implementing now. With that being said, please welcome, you need a drum roll, like do-do-do-do-do. I should add that to the podcast, but welcome today's guest, Owen. Hi, Owen.
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well and glad to be here.
Finally.
It's been long coming.
Yeah, but I'm glad we have... But it's not that long coming if we think about it. Because we met in February and we're recording this in April. And I haven't gotten some of my friends on the podcast and I've had it for over a year now. So yeah, we did great in scheduling, I would think.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'd like to get, so if I meet you at an event and you have this elevator pitch, how do you introduce yourself to people?
Very simple. This is Owen, the one person you can go to for any management and leadership issues. That's it.
That's so fancy. So, hi, I'm Owen, the one person you can go to for management and leadership issues. What does that actually mean? So, break it down. Management, leadership, sounds like HR kind of work or industry, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because for over like 16 years, I've been in the HR space. So, I started from HR consulting. And then went to work with like different companies. So over time, I spent a lot of time now with top management, leadership, and really like helping them on how best they can make, you know, create these businesses and environments in which their employees can thrive and they get to do a high performance and change management and all those kind of things. So that's really my space, helping businesses like employers how best they can manage their staff, but also helping employees on how best they can get the best out of employment. So it's like a two-way thing.
Oh, interesting. So, you know, sometimes when I rethink what I should have taken in college, I'm like, I should have really just switched to HR because I am into... Like, I am into content creation and just learning about people and understanding them and leading them. So that's what my work is. Like, it's more into, like, psychology and people, and HR is that. And I didn't even like HR in university. So now I'm just like, oh, I really should have done that because then I have these different dynamics. And I'm like, damn. But yeah, no, I love HR now that I kind of experience it in different ways these days. So when you talk about different... So when you talk about different organizations and government that you work with, like what's like always your key takeaway or something you get to learn every time you interact with them?
Yes, for me, I think like I in my line of work, it's really about understanding the various businesses because, like I did mention, because I get to work with different leaders of industry, so as I go into different companies and I'm working with these different management, you find that you have to now start understanding that business. So if you go into manufacturing business, then you have to start understanding that business. You go into an agriculture kind of company, you have to kind of understand the business. You go into any other space, it's maybe tourism, you have to start understanding that space. So it's really those moments where you get to interact with these businesses and you have to understand them. And also then now you see how you can like help to support them in terms of what they are trying to achieve, their targets. With that, then it's those moments that really keep you going, and very, very exciting actually to be exposed to various aspects of business and various sectors. It gives you that opportunity to see how businesses get to impact even the economy, and also just the common person, that employee that is working in this company, but it's also the impact and the value chain even to those who do business with those businesses. So let's say you're a supplier, you have vehicles, or you have whatever it is that you're doing. So there's that value chain to a common person. So for me, that's what is very exciting.
What I'm getting from this is that you have to be very flexible because you're not working in one industry. You are working with different industries and different individuals every single time. So that makes you learn different skill sets and makes you kind of, very flexible would be the right term I'd like to use here. Like, so what's the most important skill you've learned when you are interacting with the different organizations?
Pretty much the skill around people management, because remember, business has to do with people. So understand people management and have those people skills. How do you talk to bosses who are like directors and they are at that level? How do you talk to the managers and supervisors? How do you talk to the junior staff, like even the lowest position? And how do you even bring yourself to a level where you're with the maybe the security guards, you're with the general workers, you can actually go down to them and eat with them, you know, when you're in some of these places where they cook Mishima, and you have to be there, being able to be able to interact with every level. That's one aspect. Also, another skill is really around understanding business. Like I did mention, you have to start now seeing things from the business perspective and saying, how do businesses really operate, and what does it actually mean for a business to be successful? Those aspects, again, you have to build those skills. You have to build also the third aspect is really your technical skills, because if whatever area you are in, so for instance, from the HR perspective, you have to have like the technical skills to say, this is how structures work, these are the labor laws in the country. You have to be on top of those things, because if you're going to give any form of like advice, you cannot be giving advice based on your emotions or your feelings. Oh no, because I feel like this, I feel, no. You have to be in the space where your advice is sound, is grounded on serious business principles, benchmarked information, and when you give that advice, it is really sound technical advice, because when companies go to implement such kind of things, it has to be factual. It cannot be based on emotions. So there are all these other, of course, you have to also, again, maybe the fourth aspect is those analytical skills. Anytime you come across an issue, like I did mention, apart from your technical skills and your understanding of laws, analysis becomes important. You then have to, each company in its own way, you have to analyze, you have to see. The same thing that happens in consultants. You analyze, and then from there, you're able to now make sound recommendations. So there is that aspect that has to be looked into in terms of the skills that are required.
Did you ever kind of map out your career to reach where you're at? Like, did you get into HR and say, "Hey, I want it to take me in this path, and this is what I'm working towards"?
Well, it's so in terms of Where we started from. So growing up, like I grew up in the village. So you should know basically when you're growing up in the village, the careers you really think about and what you're told is being a teacher, being a doctor. Those are the careers that you basically pursue. And one of the things that was key is that when I was just back in secondary school, you start learning about these other careers that could exist, and then you start also I got to start having a lot of interesting people actually. At first I wanted to do for agriculture because I grew up on the farms. But then by the time I was going to the University of Zambia, I went into the School of Humanities. So in the School of Humanities, that's when I got to have a lot of interest in public administration with psychology. What then that led to was by the time I was finishing, I was then now having a career in I got an opportunity to start off actually with an HR consulting firm. So that's how really that journey kind of started, the journey in the HR space.
So this wasn't planned out. Like this isn't something you envisioned. You, and to be fair, also.
No. Actually, like growing up, I really wanted to become a doctor. And it was one of those things, I don't know if I call it like sibling rivalry, like because our sister. So I'm coming from a large family where we were born nine of us. So the first born, she was a nurse, and she was like very, very intelligent. So it was those things where my father would always praise her, how intelligent she was, beating the guys and things like that. So because she was a nurse, and I said, I also not becoming a doctor, So I really used to like in those days, like, oh, become a doctor and we'll study hard. Then things didn't work. Funny enough, when I finished my first degree, I was because I was doing also psychology at the University of Zambia. In my first degree, I went on to do a master's in clinical neuropsychology. So that aspect now, because the neuropsychology now we are basically just focusing on the study of the human brain and how it influences the way we behave and things of that nature. So it brought me back to those memories of when I wanted to become a doctor. I began studying because there now it's a combination of psychology and medicine. So we had like five doctors. We are studying now psychology, and then we had psychologists ourselves and trying to learn, medicine. So it was a funny 3 years into the master's program. But at the end of the day, I didn't continue like going into the actual practice. So that knowledge now from the master's in neuropsychology, I basically now just use it now when actually doing my HR work in my in, as I deal with people, because now it becomes easy for me even to see, okay, this person is behaving like this, probably because of this, and it really helps in my practice.
That's such an interesting story, if I'm being honest. Like, and I actually get the doctor thing. I was supposed to be a doctor too. Yeah,
What
but
happened?
I've said this a lot on the podcast. So before my grandfather died, my grandfather was really sick for like 3 years, I think. Yeah, his health was declining, but he got better. And he always wanted a personal doctor. So this thing where you give him medication, like we all knew his schedule and everything. So I'm the first grandchild, and he's always wanted a doctor in the family. And he's like, oh,
I
my
see.
baby, she's gonna be a doctor. And like, yeah, so something he would always brag about. When he died in 2018, I think I went through something, like I went through depression and anxiety and everything. I think that's when I started experiencing it more. And I just decided I wasn't gonna study a doctor. And
I
if
see.
you're alive, I don't like medicine as much, but I would have done it for him and I would have succeeded. But I think eventually I was gonna come out. Maybe I was gonna start a hospital or something because I like business so much. Yeah. So somebody just said, if you don't see yourself being a doctor, even for at
At
least
least.
10 years, you might as well just do something else. And I went into business, and yeah, that
It's
was
just
life.
very interesting.
Yeah, it is, né? Well, at least, and also, like the top four jobs are like the ones they always want us to be. I guess I'm part of, I don't know if accountants are part of it, but anyway, so like there's a doctor, a lawyer, yeah, an
Lawyer.
accountant, and what? What's the third one? What's the fourth one? An engineer? What's the fourth one?
Engineering, yes.
Yeah, so like those are the jobs that give pride, but for me, they just needed me in school, and accounting was like the easiest thing I could do, and I did it. And I told
I
my
see.
parents this all the time. I think I was with my dad a few days ago, and he was like, "Oh, you travel a lot, and I don't even know where you get the money from." And I'm like, "You should get a job." And I'm like, "Hey, like, it's very unnecessary for all of us to be working for a living." And he laughed. I'm like, "I
Like
like
I
that
can
about
still do other things and still get similar
And I was
results or
like,
not even better.
no, I just said, I could just be your daughter and be okay, ne? Like, it's okay that I'm in my 20s and I'm not working right now. Because also, he won't understand that I'm starting up a business. As long as it's not giving me tangible money, it doesn't make sense to my dad. So I don't waste my time explaining. I just tell him, say, hey, I'm just your daughter in this season. It's okay. He's such a cute guy.
It's okay. And also because of the business you're starting in the long term. In the long term, then the results will show.
No, my dad doesn't know about the business I have. He
No, but
doesn't.
that's why I mean that with what you are now building slowly and eventually in future, you come to learn about it and probably now understand.
Yeah, or we could all just pretend I'm just a child and I'm his daughter and I'm living off him. That's also a good excuse. I will go with the second one because, hey, I never really want to show as if I'm doing great in life when it comes to my parents. I just want to show, hey, yeah, nice, very necessary.
Because then the expectations might be higher.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to me, I always feel like the expectations are low, which is okay because I've been downplaying my smartness for so many years. I think my grandpa knew I was very smart. Everybody else didn't. So his expectations of me were different compared to like everybody. Like I think I repeated 2 grades. Like I started to read in 7th grade. Like, or maybe because I also have ADHD, so my learning is different from other people's learning. And my grandfather just said, "You're not failing grade 12. Like you will not fail." And I did not fail. He's like, "You will
That's
pass
very
this
good.
and you will not fail." So now it seems like people are catching up that I'm smart, which is sad. I wish you could catch up in my 30s. I would have said 3 decades of playing dumb fun in the family. Yeah.
I see.
So talking about
That's good.
young, when I'm listening to you and some of your journeys in education and some of your life choices and what to study, it's very interesting that you go into humanities, you study psychology, if I'm getting that correct, and you study
Correct.
something
Public administration.
public, you study public administration for your master's.
Yes. For the first degree.
So for the first degree, it's public administration, then
With psychology.
psychology was for the master's.
So public administration with psychology as a minor in
As a
the
minor.
first degree.
Oh yeah, you can do that at the University of Zambia. It's the only reason I wanted to come there. They don't do that at UNILAS, sad.
I
And
see.
then for your master's?
Yeah, then master's now it was clinical neuropsychology.
Then you end up in HR. That's so interesting. You know, it it doesn't give like the linear path, right? Like in my head, I'd be thinking, hey, he studied HR, then maybe did some psychology and then did neuroscience, right? That's how he ended up in HR. But you did parallel things, but somehow still added up into you going into the HR industry. So, that's interesting. I'm still trying to make that up. I'm still trying to add up in my head.
Let me help you with how you add it up. I know that that's exactly what a lot of people have to like. Okay, how did this happen? Okay, so here's the thing. So I'm doing my first degree, public administration with psychology, and during the time I had an opportunity to be part of the student associations. So we had the like a public administration student association, and we had the patron. So we our patron, Mr. Nyatando, he was he was working with us while we were at the university. So when we are finishing and we're like, okay, maybe we need to do like some internship, and give a couple of us an opportunity. So Mr. Nyatando is actually the father to, I think you know him as Pompey.
Pompey, love that guy,
So when we finished in 2008, I went straight and started working with him. So while at Bitmas, that was the name of his company, Bitmas HR Consulting. So because of the public administration course that I did, it also had components of HR. And so it's really administration of institutions, how you manage institutions. So that's how come now I started that HR. I started off in the HR consulting space. And yeah, it was actually very interesting. And working with Mr. Nyatando, actually, I ended up being called like the second son. And by that time, Pompey was going for his studies in South Africa, and he started also like being more focused on music. So from the HR side, I became now like the second son in the house. So he started really like drilling me and training me, and I'm dealing with all the a major corporation you can like think about in Zambia. We did consultants for like workers' compensation, NAPSA, ZRA, Barclays Bank then, and Development Bank of Zambia, and so many other institutions. And so that is where this HR work really, really started from. So even by the time I went to do my master's, it was that situation where when I was finishing, now I'm like at crossroads. Should I now go and start working full time in UTH in the psychiatry department, or be at Chinama, or I could bring back that knowledge and use it on the HR side? So I had my mentors and even himself. We sit down like, where are you seeing yourself going? Like you're at this crossroads, like in career, and yeah, finally. Followed my mentor's advice and like, okay, look, why not only continue with the same study, I mean with the same area in HR, and keep building what you have already started building. And it actually paid off, because from there I went to work for another company and Minute Finance, and then I went to like Entrepreneurs Financial Center like in 2012 to 2015. I was HR manager there, and then from EFC I go to Mota Engil, which is a construction company. Again, dealing like with over 1,600 employees, and I was seeing like, okay, actually the psychology is really, really, really helping in this kind of HR work. So that's how those two ended up marrying in terms of how we were managing that career. And I'm also like doing additional other masters at the moment.
Oh, fancy. I have heard you kind of, I'm saying fancy to the other masters you're studying. I am adding up a few stuff that you that you're talking about, and it actually brings it to something I'd like us to talk about, which is mentors, like Pompey's father being your mentor, and also an opportunity of leadership when you worked for one of the associations, or were you a part of one of the associations at university, and an opportunity to actually intern. Yes, so those three elements are like some of my favorite things that I always like to discuss, because most young people in university are not given an opportunity to find a mentor or put in a position where they can access one, and that could be in different ways. They don't have the agency, or they never see the importance of being part of an association, and just even finding a job before finishing school, because what that happens is those three things actually gave you the option or the opportunity to actually see life somewhere else, right? So before you completed, you actually saw life to say, hey, apart from this traditional path I can follow with what I studied, there's this other path that I have tried out and I can actually pursue, because now I have tested it and I've experienced it and I actually like it. So when you look at the current state young people are in right now in university, where these things are actually scarce, what type of advice would you give them?
You really bring out a very important aspect, and it's one of the things that when I'm called, like, to speak to young people in universities and so on, and really it's one of the things I emphasize around using their time during the time they're actually in the university to take up on projects and internships and things of that nature. Because look, being book smart and all those things, they really, really help you to get good grades. But the corporate world is slightly different. And that's why, whilst one person is in the university, it's the greatest opportunity to actually start doing internship and being involved in those the so-called extracurricular activities. If there are associations, I encourage young people to be involved, because, like, through those things, for me, I got an opportunity. But also with those associations, you really get to have a chance to start developing your skills on how to work with others. Remember, on the academic side, it's competition. It's you getting better and better grades. But when you start, you know, going into these associations and clubs and whatever you call them, you get an opportunity to see, now, how can I work with another person? I remember I was in charge of projects in that association, and we managed to do proposals. We managed to get computers and other things. So you start building those skills of how it means to be in a team, and communication, writing skills, and all those kind of things that you can actually come and use in the corporate world or in business if you don't get employment. Also, at the same time, when I talk about internship, when somebody is still in the university, there are those moments when you're really not studying. Why not find even the nearest company you can find? Even if they are not paying you, one of the things I keep on emphasizing, Mika, is that, look, if you can find a company that actually pays you, well and good. Great. But when you are still in the university, you know, there could be those small companies which are nearby, or organizations, or there are these NGOs near your campus, and you are not having to spend money. Even if within the university can allow you to go to the department and do some works, for me, that is something to be done, because, like I said, whilst in the university, you do this involvement in clubs, you go to do internships, that starts to build in you those valuable skills, to the point that when you go for interviews, you can actually demonstrate and say, look, apart from my studies, because everybody is getting those distinctions, merits, and so on. Yeah, everybody is getting a degree. But beyond that, what is it that you are able to show for? So for me, those points that you raised are very important. That's number one. Number two, around mentorship. Again, when it comes to mentorship, at every level, I tell people that when you're still in university, find that mentor that can actually help you on academics. And you don't have to have one mentor for everything. This is a confusion that I also see. You want to just have one mentor for all the things you're doing in your life. The same mentor for spiritual, for academic, for what? You can still have two, three different mentors for different things. Academic-wise, you can have somebody who can assist you as a young person with your studies. They might be also students who are just ahead of you, and respecting that relationship, that this is about a professional relationship where we are really getting to help each other. They help you academically, or it could be somebody who has already finished what you're studying. All that the mentors do is really to shorten your learning curve. Also, at the same time, you could have a mentor who simply helps you with your life choices, your courses, or whatever it is that you're studying. You could have mentors on spiritual matters. It's really to the individual. But for me, when you're young, you're in university, look for that mentor. When you're finished again, you have finished school, you're in that space where you have not yet found a job, you can still have mentors who can actually be challenging you. Because sometimes you are in that space where you start to feel like maybe there is not much progress you are making, or you have been going for interviews and nothing seems to be working. But having that mentor, they can like hold your hand and help you and to navigate that period, even to prepare you better and to challenge you that you can do something better with your life. Beyond that space, when you are in employment as a young person, or even an older person, you're working, even in at the time you're now an employee, or you have taken the route of business, again, you still need mentors there because they have been there. They have seen what sometimes works and what doesn't work. They can help you. And even when you have been working for 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 years, when you want to elevate to a higher level, like I talk about management and leadership, even for yeah. those people that I meet in management and leadership, I still tell them they need mentors because those mentors at the higher level help them now to see, because at that level is a whole different set of skills that are required compared to the lower level employment. At that level, it is now how you understand business operations and getting things done. So you need somebody at that higher level again who can mentor you. So mentorship for me, Aka, it's way across in academics, when you're somebody's in university, during job search, during employment. Again, mentorship even when it comes to somebody pursuing business, because somebody might have gone ahead and they have experienced certain things that they can that mentor can then help that person to become more sharp at a faster pace. And even mentors, even in your personal social life, again, you can choose somebody who you think you can talk to. They can tell you about how you balance your life and things of that nature. So
yeah,
mentorship for me, you know, it's very, very important.
I actually like that we are touching on untold conversation, unsaid stuff that we all are being skeptical about sharing, which is like one of the things that hit home for me is a lot of students, like your student life in university is a time you are paid to go to school. Like I genuinely believe it. Like my parents paid for my school and paid for me to go to school. They paid for my food. They paid for my transportation. They paid for everything. And all I had to do was to sit in class for maybe an average of 6 hours per week, right? For 5 days, which means I have extra time. Even if I added study time and what? Yeah, after study time, what else comes? An exam time, of course, an assignment time. I still had time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, a lot of students don't utilize that time. Like they are being paid to go to school and they also want organizations to pay them. And for me, I'm like, you're being paid already. And if you could give out if you have an extra 12 hours to give to an organization to learn a skill, I think you should, because it will make sense in the end. And I think one of the best advisors, the person that gave me the first advice, was my elder brother. The one that told me not to study to be a doctor also told me, volunteer now. And that was during our branch in 2019. He said, volunteer now. Volunteer more now. Volunteer for free. Work for free so that 5 years from now, you can actually show people your track record of working for free and tell them, no, I do not want to work for free. Yes. And it's the one thing students are not getting. It's like, hey, if you could work for free while you are in school, no one would want to work for free. No one would say work for free again after school, because we'd be like, you actually did put in the effort. We'll pay you if we can afford to pay you, or an organization that can support you.
Exactly.
So that's the one thing.
And you see that, I'll tell you from a, I'll tell you from an HR perspective, like, yes, you can have a lot of fresh graduates and so on, but the ones that can demonstrate that they have done something beyond just academics, those usually tend to be better, because they have already demonstrated that commitment, and you volunteer in a particular organization, you're starting to learn a lot more than just what you learn in school. And like you have rightly said, there is usually enough time that you can have on your hands, and that also keeps a student very busy. You really don't have time for things that could be dangerous for your own life, because you are busy. Like I said, at some point, I remember when we were even at university, I used to go across the University of Zambia. We had grassroots soccer. I think that time we go there, we volunteer, we are learning. And during, like, even the holidays, we used to actually write. I was part of a certain psychology association also. And we'll write proposals. We'll have, like, students from America. They come and we go to work in the communities. So you are really learning a lot of things that at the end of the day, you get some certification or letters of commendation. And those are things that even when you're going for employment, you have gotten some skill that helps you to work with others, even in the corporate or business space.
So one thing I always say to students now, and I think they think that's rude, I always say the only thing that your degree tells us in the industry is you're teachable. It's the only thing. Like, you can be taught. For 4 years, it's just showing us you can be taught. That's all. Like, show us something else. Show us that you can work with people. Show us that you can learn how to use social media to your advantage. Like, show us a different tangible skill, because apart from you being teachable, can you work with people? Are you easy to work with or hard to work with? Do you know yourself? Yeah. What's your personality type? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? So these small things, like even, so I was also vice president for my association, which was like a business association, it taught me a lot in that season too. Yeah. I was like, oh no, I actually lose my temper and I'm not very patient with people. And like, it brings out all those things in you, and you start learning about yourself. So it's like, we need them to work outside what they're being taught so they can learn new skills. And the flip side on their end, the advantage would be is, like it was for you, is it enhances or it just, what's the word? It just brings an awareness that there's more to life than what they're studying. It can actually bring out their interests, right? I always knew I wanted to do business, so I'm trying to look for a better. So if you were studying communication and you worked with an organization and you realize that that organization maybe used to do something to do in health, then you realize, hey, I actually like to be in the health industry. I like what they do. I like what they are talking about. I like what this organization, what do I do with my communication skill to amplify health awareness? So it's like, it exposes you to different things and also just broadens your perspective. Yes, that's so weird. It just broadens
Yeah.
the expectation. I felt pronounced that word, Lord. But moving on, because then you didn't have a linear path on
Yo.
what your career would look like. That's what I was
Yeah.
coming to. Yeah,
Yep.
because then you're exposed to more than what you know in university. So now you can actually, if you don't get a job
Yeah.
as a journalist, you can do other stuff because you have learned that this, you're capable of doing other stuff. So it also just brings your confidence and competence, I think. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. That's
And you
true.
also talked about mentorship, and I think, like you said, one of the things I'm
Yeah.
easily able to do is my ability to get a mentor. I think that I always know what I want, and it's easy for me to get help, right? Like, even if it's a bigger picture, I can
Yeah.
always narrow it down with what I want. And when you're in university, I think a lot of people in the age in their 20s, early mid 20s, maybe the thing we're doing wrong is not knowing how to ask for help, right? Sometimes it doesn't even have to be official
Yeah.
that you're my mentor, but your
Yeah.
ability to go to a lecturer, a senior in work, and say, "Hey, I am stuck on this and I need help." They're always willing to give help, like
Yeah.
they're always willing to advise, tell them what to do, those type of things. So it's interesting that I always say this again to students, to say, "Hey, you have, especially at uni, last, I always you have the best lecturers in the
Yeah.
industry, and half of you failed to go and ask
Yeah.
for help. You failed to ask for advice. Like, you listen to
Yeah.
these people speak so much
Yeah.
sense and experience, and you don't wanna walk up to them and say, "Hey,
Yeah.
I need advice on this and this and this," because that's your connection to your job. That's your only connection you have.
Yeah.
And if you've been at a university for 4 years and no lecturer remembers you, do you think you can reach
Yeah.
out to them after university and say, "Hey, I need help"? They won't respond. Unfortunately, I wouldn't.
Can you be my referee?
They won't, because you don't have a relationship. I always had, for every
Exactly.
semester, I always had a relationship with all my lecturers. And I think you and I met at uni last, and you'd see how almost everybody was so excited to see me. Because, hey, they all knew me,
Yeah.
because I made sure to say, if I ever need a backup plan, I will need all
Yeah.
these people. We will disagree on
Exactly.
certain issues, which is okay. People
Yeah.
can disagree. But then they still like me
And
enough
they
to
sell
say,
actually.
"Aka, come back for this and do this." Yeah. So it's just one of the few things that
Yeah.
really bother me. Students don't utilize the people closest to them, which is like their lecturers, for help. And yeah, it's crazy. And just not students. Anyone can be your mentor.
Yeah,
Your
honestly.
uncle,
Yeah.
your priest, your bishop, anyone can be your mentor. You just have to realize that, yeah, I need somebody, I need advice. Or maybe people, maybe because it's a word,
And that's
someone once told me
maybe it's too
that,
big.
yes, but then you know how my brother-in-law once told me that maybe mentorship is a big word, but we all seek advice,
Yeah.
right? Like, all of us,
Yeah.
if let's say people are having wrangles in the family, you always see that the elders in the family are
Yeah.
called. Everybody gets to tell their side of the story, and the elders get to share
Yeah.
their wisdom and advice. That's mentorship. Maybe we should stop. Maybe
So.
we should break it down to that. Maybe. Yeah.
When you look at traditionally in the olden days, they had actually one of the things I was talking we were having a conversation with my colleagues about the same thing. Like you are saying that sometimes when we use these terminologies like mentorship, it comes out like it's so huge and it's a big thing. But when you look at even the African setup in the olden days, they had their own way in which they structured society. So like you have the
Yeah.
young people, maybe they have where they sit and they play, and then you have these elders They have their own, in soccer, and they discuss stories. But then they will attach the young people to these elders, especially the uncles, so that as a
Yeah.
young person is growing, the uncles will be telling him, okay, this is how you do hunting, this is how you do farming, this
Yeah.
is how you take care of the woman when you get married. So the kind of counseling and advising this person and providing that support, in such a manner that the person grows up even to be more confident. They get to be trained on how to do their farming or how to do their hunting, as I said, and they kind of perfect their skill. And even now they relate and now they talk to other people. So he had that kind of structured but unwritten way of mentoring the young people. But now we are in this modern age, and we have those things disintegrated. Each one for himself. You go to school, you are on your own. You finish, you are living in your own space, you are working. So you really don't have this strong social support system. So, like you said, and I do believe that it's important that we have people that we can run to, whatever terminology we call them, who those people who have some level of experience. It might not be the highest experience or the best experiences, but they have some
But they have
experience that they can share with
experience.
you. Like I say, yes, they can tell you, look, the way I see these things, or what I've seen, or what I've experienced is this, this is, and that just sometimes helps you to solve a particular problem. It could be a social issue you are going through. Maybe you're having a challenge, you're having your heartbreak or whatever, but the school leader has been there and they say, look, this is you deal with these social issues, and they bring you back on track. It could be a challenge in academics, and you're failing to understand certain concepts. Again, that person who maybe a little bit ahead of you, in terms of how they understand these things, or they could be grades ahead, the person can assist, or it could be a lecturer, like we said. It could be on spiritual matters. Again, you could be struggling in your spiritual space. There's somebody who can help unlock those things. In the workplace, it's the same thing. I remember I had with my own I talk about my own mentor now. Beyond the HR, I have a business mentor and leadership mentor. So at that point, I am dealing with some leadership issues, and then he's just asking me, okay, have you had a chance to look at this and this and this? And I'm looking at the man, I'm like, okay, I think that I'm kind of a little bit intelligent here, and I've thought through this thing. And just him just pointing and saying, have you had a chance to look at this? And he didn't even say you should do this. He's just asking me questions during our mentorship sessions, and he's just unlocking all these things. I'm like, oh, so I didn't think about this issue from this perspective. And so for me, and I see that always in my mentorship sessions, especially with the HR practitioners in Zambia, because I do these kind of things to help a lot of colleagues, some of them even older than myself. And because of my experiences and my exposure, and because I've been working in various companies, you find that when a colleague comes in HR and they are asking, oh, this issue, for them it's a issue. And now you're looking at it like, man, have you just looked at this? And I never saw it like that way. So for me, this kind of mentorship and support system kind of helps a person, whether they're in university or they have finished, or they are in employment or in business. Those things for me, it just opens doors and helps you to be able to do things faster or more efficiently, to deal with the situations and really make progress in your life.
You know what, you've actually touched on something that hits home. And maybe it's the reason why I'm even back home in Western Province right now. Or maybe like I've been traveling more and visiting my family. Is that my friend and I were talking about how our generations are not resilient, right? We always feel like small challenges is the end of the world. Like we always put everything as mental health. Not that mental health issues don't actually and don't exist, but we're always, even natural life issues, we're always putting them in the box of mental health. And when you talked about how when growing up, even in the agent from our ancestors, a lot of people talked about, hey, listening to you speak, it kind of comes home for me, because you touched on matters that I actually appreciate a lot and been talking about. So my friend and I were actually talking about how we are categorizing everything as a mental health issue when maybe it's something else. And that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that mental health issues don't exist. They do exist, but that's not like the fundamental issue, right? So you talked about how even when we're growing up, the elderly men would teach the men, the young boys, on how to farm, hunt, what comes after that, how to take care of their mm-hmm. family. And the young women would also be taught on how to gather, cook, and take care of a household. Yes, things have evolved, but we had our systems, right? We had our support systems that would guide mm-hmm. us. And we've reached at a point where everybody wants to be alone, right? I was laughing at my grandma to say, hey, you have this very big house and you're literally living alone, but you have grand nieces and nephews here. And everybody wants that that space, that independence. And not saying that the older generation didn't scar us. Like, they did scar us. But then now that we are breaking off some of the social things that kept the older generation sane, that would have probably done the same with us, like the community, going to church together, eating together, praying together, mm-hmm. those type of thing, we're breaking them off. And we're now having people depressed, lonely, anxious. And I have to admit, I am that. Like, I isolated myself from my family for like 4 years during university. Like, no one saw me. This is the most everybody has seen me ever since I left my hometown. So it really brings it back home to know that we're breaking the system. Yes, we should break the system that's not working, but this system was actually helping us somehow. And we're breaking it. Instead of refining it and redefining it for ourselves, we're just completely doing away everything the older generation has done. And now all of us, half of everybody is going to be stuck, because we will not have anything to give our children afterwards. Like, what are we going to be passing down to them? So it's
and you raise a very important point.
What point is that?
Because when you in terms of the systems that were, for instance, the social systems that were existing in the past, I'll tell you from a psychology point of view that human beings are social beings, and being social beings, there is that need to belong. Now, that need to belong would be belonging to your immediate family, they need to belong to a certain community, they need to belong, like, you can identify yourself with a certain university where you went, or you can identify yourself with a particular political party or a certain business group. Human beings have that need. And when you look at back at the way originally, or in the olden days as Africans, there was that aspect around creating a social system, a support system that really helps each family. And it was about all for one and one for all, meaning that as long as this person stayed within our space, this person belonged to us, there was need to support them if they were struggling, if they were grieving, the whole community came through, the family would be there. So you have this, and this is important for mental health, apart from physical health and everything, because a human being who feels valued, appreciated, and supported, they tend to thrive in that kind of an environment. The challenge comes now with a new way of doing things, which now people have to adjust to, where it is, people even say, each one for himself and God for all. It's the system now is pretty, it's more than a lot of competition. It's about me and me developing alone or achieving this target or becoming this, and families are becoming smaller. At family level, you now have all these offenses that people stay in, and you, even when you have a neighbor, you really sometimes don't even know what they look like, or even so you have all these systems now. And then on top of that, you add now the aspect of technology. So you will find that now, even the bigger companies, because they also do business, they bring you a lot of entertainment on your tech, on your devices. And that takes, you find that even within a certain home, sometimes you get to be more entertained watching TV or watching, being on the phone alone, watching some TikTok or other social media platforms that actually excite people, to a point that even being with other people sometimes starts to make you feel like, you're wasting my time. And the worst part of that is that you have, especially the younger people now, because they drive a lot of this pleasure and excitement now from, for instance, social media, they then, that concept of the family and the society starts to be now more and more about the person being alone and actually now being enjoying the social media kind of new community, compared to the actual physical interaction. So you find that now in that space, sometimes people start to feel lonely and isolated, like they have nobody to talk to. Yes, they will scroll on social media, laugh here and there. At the end of the day, as human beings, there's just that need to belong and to be part of a larger community or family and things of that nature. So it's those kind of things that the young people now have to deal with. But also at the same time, my encouragement usually has been that if you are young or you are older and you don't have a bigger a social system to work with or to live with, you have to start building that. Because sometimes it's just getting to the basics, getting to know a few family members here and there, and genuinely having making that conscious decision that, okay, I want to connect with people. Because sometimes what happens, and I'll tell you this, it because somebody really doesn't has not been a in a space where they can develop genuine connections, you'll find that even when they go to university, they go into in the corporate world, sometimes you find that that person now cannot even stand working with another team member. So they just want to receive work, be in a particular corner and they do their work and send it. But the skills that are required in a corporate world require that you're able to interact with other people and probably create these connections because you have to work with other team members. If you are not in employment, you go into the business world where you have created your own business. Again, even there, the people that you have to give you business, they want to see that you can actually genuinely connect with them and work with them on those businesses. Otherwise, to go and look for a business, a business deal, and all they see is you're just on Facebook and you cannot actually talk to those people. It becomes a challenge. So for me, my encouragement usually to young people and just to anybody is that they have to now be in the space where they make conscious decisions to say, how do I start to become better at my building social and all these relationships. How do I become better at emotional intelligence, being able to understand first myself, like what are my limitations? What are the things that irritate me? What are the things that make me feel excited? What are my buttons, my red buttons, green buttons? You spend time to understand yourself as an individual, and then you genuinely invest in trying to understand other people, because then it helps you to make better connections. And people are able to see when you're trying to fake it, you fake smiles or fake connections. Somebody can easily see that this person is just, trying to fake it. But where they can see that there's some genuineness, you can see it in the face, you can see it in the consistency, even as you interact with other people. So for me, it's usually my advice that there is need to look back into how you connect with people, how you develop your social and people skills, how you better develop your emotional intelligence. You can be very academically very intelligent, your IQ is very high, but to make it in life,
EQ.
you want to also invest your EQ so that you're able to relate very well with other people and to get things done. Whether you are a junior officer, if you are going into employment, even if you rise to the top of the business, you become a manager, you become a director, you will have to have an understanding of how to deal with people, because for you to deliver on your business or the mandate of your business, you need those people to work in one. It will be focused on one goal, and you need to be able to interact with them without you feeling like you just have to push them or let them and on their own, and like you think they can do the job. So there's all that has to come into play as you look at building proper skills for you to make it, be it in business, be it in employment or academically, etc.
I always laugh at my friends. I always say that, do you guys know your neighbors? Like, every time I am at my friend's house, their neighbors know me. Because I'm always greeting everybody's neighbor. I'm always talking to the neighbor. And I'm like, well, my mom always says your neighbor is your closest relative. Right, if anything would happen, your neighbor is a person you can run to and they'll help before your family members reach arrive, right? And I think it's such a concept that brings it home to just say, yes, sometimes you might be disconnected to your family, but you still need your family because sometimes, yeah, for others, we do not know what the reason would be, but only your family would know inside jokes. I always say this to my family, like, only us can we can speak a certain type of language, we can laugh a certain type of way, we can joke a certain type of way, because we're actually raised in the same house by the same people. So now that they're old, we can actually just make fun of them, which is fun for us.
And they understand it also.
So it's like breaking those systems that kept us jovial as children. And thinking that we don't need them as adults is something as a generation, mine is a Gen Z generation. We need to revisit and have these conversations to say, hey, the reason why you were happy as a child is you had a system, you had people to talk to, you had family members to look for up to, you had a system. Now you've removed that system and you need to actually put it back together. For you to have, for everything to be balanced in your life. Like, life can be happening, but sometimes all you need is someone to just talk to, laugh with. The next day, you're good, you go on with life. Because life will always have challenges. I love this conversation. It just keeps going on and on and on. Oh my goodness.
I'm glad to have
Owen.
it with you.
I know, right? Owen, I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
That is very, very good.
I like
I like,
the
because it is on one side, like questions are always fired at me, so it's a good opportunity now also for me to ask a question. I have so many questions running in my head. Maybe my simple question. Let me ask a simple question, maybe.
No, ask me a hard question. You might ask a simple question that has already been asked. I like
I
hard questions.
say, you like hard questions.
Yeah, I do like to think sometimes.
Good. Let's look at. I liked when you were talking about allowing yourself in your 20s to enjoy and like just low key, like you just let's lo, let's play it lo,
Is that
what are
the
you seeing? What are you seeing as your 30s? What are you seeing in your 30s? Right, in terms of where you want to go with your life, and what is it that you think you will need to be doing in your 20s to get to that arc of in her 30s and beyond?
Interesting. So one thing I have clear in my 30s is like on a billion-dollar company, right? And for Aka in her 20s, it's realizing that requires a different type of environment, firstly, and it also requires a different type of systems. I've had to make peace with the fact that how I'm living my life and how a mid-20 type girl or woman is living a life is very different, right? Most of my friends are really going in deep, knee deep with their careers and focusing and going back to school. But for me, it's I really have to ask questions like, hey, how does this feed into building a billion-dollar business? How does this help me sustain my life? How does this build the systems I need? And when you think about systems, there's a part where you have to like build your business systems. But I've also been trying to rebuild my social systems, like my family, my friends, like having like a really strong support system, because I always think that if you don't have a strong foundation, the house will break, the house will fall.
That's
So
true.
if
That's true.
you're trying to build this empire, it's
Yeah.
gonna be lonely at the top if you have no one.
Yeah.
That's definitely true, right? But you also just don't want to have anyone at the top. You want to have people that have been there, people that understand the vision, people that understand where I'm at as a person now and the life decisions. And sometimes they don't have to understand but accept, right? And just coming back to the root things like reconnecting with my family. I think I joked earlier about my dad doesn't understand my life choices. And I'm like, it's okay. I always tell my parents, like the most gracious thing I ever did was to go to school and give you guys a certificate that I did school. And when you are growing up, you realize that most of your life you're living for your parents or for your guardians, because most of your life choices led to what they wanted. We want you to be in school. We want this. We want that. It did you realize to say, if you don't make a decision to kind of shade that away, to say, hey, I want this and I want my life to look like this, that also means regularly disappointing you. Yes. So I think it's me in my 20s is really disappointing people mostly, so that I don't have to disappoint myself. And Aka in her 20s is really traveling more. I like to travel, which is whichever the wind, wherever the wind takes me. Could be local travel, international. I think experiencing people in different cultures broaden my perspective on how I want the company to grow, but it also shows me, hey, I can actually relocate to a different country and this business can work, is what I'm trying out. Is like, can I work from anywhere? And as long as I have the internet, my tools and laptops, I'm good. And yeah, so on the business side, it's also, I think if you're there for some of the life changes, it's also making hard decisions and making peace with them. like this decision has to be made, and I am 51% sure of it and moving on, because I tend to overthink and I'm a feel person, so I don't like logical stuff most of the time. So I'm like, if my gut feeling says no, my gut this, my gut that, and I'm like, okay, I really need to move on from this. So yes, so in my 30s, I really do see myself running this amazing company, but probably starting new work as well, like starting a different organization, supporting different startups, and starting a nonprofit that sensitizes about financial literacy, because I've been very passionate about that. So I'm grateful for the 20s, but I look forward to the 30s, because that's when I get to make decisions like, hey, do I want to be a parent, or do I enjoy being an adult? Do I want to be married or not? You know, like, I'm not having those conversations in my 20s. I say this to people all the time, like, like, you expect a lot of things from me, but marriage in my 20s, because I also think, like, this is like my best time of my life, not because I have everything figured out, but because I have the right to make choices in the 20s, and every choice will have an effect earlier. But I think that for me, marriage is not something I'm willing to offer. So even when I'm in a relationship, I'm always like, hey, as you are looking for material, I don't think I'm marriage material. That's like
not,
a joke,
not just at this point.
Not at this point. And then you meet people that at a point where they are ready to actually settle down. And something about people's potential, right? I'm in my 20s, so maybe I'm dating someone in their early 30s or late 20s, is you have reached your potential, or you are reaching your potential, or you have bypassed the stage I'm at. And you want me to meet you where you are, but you're forgetting that I have to go through this phase. I have to experience it. I have to experience being 24, 25, 26, 27. And I'm like, hey, these are my best years. These are the years I can actually really capitalize on my time, my efforts, my business, and everything. So if I split it and give you what you think you want, because you've reached, you bypassed
that stage
and you want something else, is unfair. So I think those are some of the most interesting conversations I find myself now, because people meet me and listen to my mind speak, and I'm so scared of marriage that I run. I feel like they see so much potential, like, I would like it to be the mother of my kids. I'm like, I'm not having kids in my 20s.
Not yet.
No. And there's also this concept of, it's okay when the man is ready and the woman should receive, and it's okay for when the woman is ready and the man isn't, right? So as a woman, you're taught that if a man is ready, you should be ready too, right? Like, if he's ready, you're automatically expected to be ready. And if you're not ready, that's just wrong in society, because you should be grateful he's now ready to settle down with you. And I'm like, hey guys, as much as people think we all want to be chosen, I want to choose whoever I end up with. And just trying to also understand those different stereotypes in society, I think it's going to be one of my favorite things now. Because I'm like, oh, I don't care kind of person. Yeah. I genuinely don't care that you're getting married and everything. So yeah, I think that I'm proud of who Aka is now. I think she's kind of made really bold decisions concerning her life. And if I would look back 10 years ago to the younger me when I was 14, younger me would have said, yeah, that sounds like Aka. She said that. That's really her. And older me is like, oh, probably she made the right decision. At 34, I can't wait, honestly. My business would probably be doing great. I would be the best auntie in the world. I like being an aunt. So I would like to be the best auntie in the world. And everything else will fall into place. I really believe that. But I also think that my mid-30s, I would be now working on different parts of my life and businesses would enrich some of the things I've always wanted to do when I was 14. So I'll never really attain my full potential because I'll always chase it. But I'm just glad that I'm at a point where I can just reflect and say, hey, this isn't for me now. And if this is for you now, it's okay that you can move forward and do it. I personally would like to stick into this path. So, yeah, that was like That was a deep question.
It's supposed to be deep. That's the whole point. Like I said, I had too many questions, but then maybe we ask a deep one. I'm glad you shared that perspective and how you see yourself, you know, in these 20s and the aspect of not giving yourself a lot of pressure. But also because in 10 years' time, you see where you're heading. So I think for me, I'm happy with where you are and what you want to do with your life. It's a matter of also now just seeing that future version of yourself in terms of what you see in your 30s, especially as you keep on talking about the business that you want to run. My encouragement to you will be, let's start working on you building those skills that you need to come and run that $1 billion business. What that means now is to start looking at all the areas of your life and how, as you do it low in your 20s, but you're now starting to build those kind of skills, you know. What does it mean to run the business, to understand the numbers? You did start your business, so that part starts to help you. But also at the same time, issues of leadership, issues of, you know, operations management. If you are going to run your business, how are you actually managing its operations? The issues of financial management, how do you actually start to see how you manage the finances of such a business? What systems are you going to have in place and things of that nature? Issues around human resource management. How are you actually going to manage the many people or the few people that you're going to work with, depending on the operation management aspect in terms of the technology you're going to deploy in your business? So how are you going to manage yourself, and how are you going to manage the people that are going to be working with you? And are they locally in the country, or are you working with people outside of the country? What laws would apply in terms of how you work with them? What wages are you going to pay and things of that nature? And what structures do you basically have? Issues of legal compliance, what kind of that business you are going to be doing, what kind of legal compliance will it require, the registration, the taxes, and all those things? Because while you have all this time, like in 5-10 years, you start now looking at that company at that point, what exactly will it be doing? So for me, I think that would be my encouragement to you, because it means between now and the next time, you start to align your life. You start to look at what kind of people you want to network with, who put you in that space, the financing aspect, like I did mention, everything that has to do with you coming to run that kind of business. You talked about your social life. Again, it is you already starting to think about when you are going to start running that kind of a business.
Yeah.
You should already start envisioning what kind of social life you are going to have. If you're going to be married, what does that look like?
Yeah.
How does this young person who's married going to manage being a wife, being a mother, and being this corporate person or business person, what kind of support would she need at that point? All those kind of things, your spiritual life, your social life, your, at the end of the day, for me, it is about intentionally starting to look at what you want to be in that future, and then asking yourself, what is it I'm doing now as I prepare for that kind of future? So that the skills you are going to start focusing on building are skills that will be relevant for you, not only now, but also with where you're going. For me, I think in that way, you start to prepare better for your future, even as you enjoy the moment, without necessarily starting to stress yourself. But sometimes when we look at this big, you sometimes stress can come in and you feel, hey, maybe this is impossible, or maybe am I even going crazy, having this kind of a vision. So I think it's about being kind to yourself and saying, look, this is just where I want to go, but then what do I need to do for me to get to that place where I want to go, so that again you don't end up in a space with of a lot of regrets. You reach that number of years you're looking for, and then you find nothing is close to what you are looking to achieve 10 years ago. But again, I always tell people it's about how you adjust according to circumstances. If you have done everything that you needed to do as you prepare for that future, and that future you envisioned doesn't seem to be happening, maybe it's because God is trying to take in another direction, or just your life is still taking another turn. It's about embracing what comes at that time and then making the best. I have that there's that quotation which says, everything turns out the best for those who make the best out of the way things turn out. So things turn out the best for those who make the best out of the way things turn out. So for me, that's what I believe in. And I can only wish you the very best, and
Thank
we'll
you.
be here to cheer you on.
I have all the glasses for champagne for everybody. It's gonna be a party. I'm just saying. I'm hyping you all up for when this whole blows up. Remember, we talked about it and a glass of champagne. A glass of champagne, like you
Exactly.
said, it really just always comes back to the foundation. And this is why I'm home now and I am solidifying certain relationships. And yeah, I'm coming back to a place I was born and raised in. And like just understanding, like, and now I understand a few things my grandfather used to say to me, and a few things my grandmother says to me, and a few things I am doing now. And like I said, it's lonely at the top. And if I'm gonna be holding a glass of champagne, I want all my favorite people in front of that front row seat, and we're just raising it because, hey, as much as we have the world outside, I love my family so much and I love my friends so much. And when I get there, I want to see all my favorite people, mostly my family and my nieces and nephews. And just like, hey, well, it's gonna be a win for my family. As much as it's gonna be a win for me, it's gonna be a win for my family. And I'm like, we need it as a family to have that amount of wealth and power and prestige come into, because it's gonna change everybody associated to that name. So yeah, for now, I'll just keep being low
That's
key
great.
and looking lost. Like I don't know what I'm doing. But yes, I kind of have a plan. And this started when I was 18. Yeah, so I'm glad I'm here. Almost halfway there.
That's good. That's great. And I
It's
think it's
also
good when you're grounded, yeah? Because when you have this vision and you know the reason why you are doing something, and also being grounded in the roots of the family and friends, that I think gives you reason to go on and wake up each day and saying, look, I'm still gonna work towards that long-term vision that I have. And I think that gives you more chance and morale to go on, and more chance for possible success. And yeah, we will pray and we'll support you. And I do believe that your family is going to be proud of you. And yeah, celebrate.
It's so sad we're coming at the end of this podcast, but my last question is, what do you look forward to?
For me, what I look forward to in my life is really just having impact. Growing up, like I said, from the village, I grew up with one principle, and that principle is of hard work. But also, it's about having impact in people's lives. And so, anything that, even the way I take my work, I always look at the fact that I'm in those positions with, whenever I'm working on anything, I'm in that position as a privileged position to make better life for other people. And it's what I tell people, even with where I'm working now. I see that like it's an opportunity to have an impact on the 20 million Zambians, because at the end of the day, we need to be in a space where by the time we are dying, we really created some form of value, and we touched lives in one or another and made somebody's life. It could be our family members, it could be community members, it could be at national level. We touched somebody and made somebody to be in a better place. And yeah, when our time comes, we go and meet with our maker, and we did our job on this earth. That is what I look for in terms of having impact in whatever I'm doing.
I love that. I just think we were born to change someone's life, and
Yeah.
if it's just one person's life that we can change, that's good enough. I always say that to myself, if whatever I do now can change one person's life, then I'm doing something great, and I'm just
That's it.
grateful I'm put in that position. So I'm glad that you feel the same way, and it's a good
Yeah.
way to end the podcast, to be honest. So thank you
That's
so
it.
much for being here, Owen. I love this conversation. I really do appreciate all the guidance and love and support you show me all the time. It's gonna be an interesting year on my end, and
Yeah.
I'm just glad that you're one of the people there telling me to keep pushing and the thing. So yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
Thank you so much for having me, and really, I wish you lots and lots of success in all your areas of your life. And yeah, stay blessed and keep on pushing what you're pushing.
Okay, great, Owen. Thank you so much. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Thank you.